The reading is from John, the Gospel of John, in the verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man called, sent by God, whose name was John. He came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen.
God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have it to read in language that we understand. Praise you for that. We ask that you will speak to us now, and that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and anoint the spoken word. In the name of Jesus, amen. I saw my first Christmas tree of the year in a house that I go past on my morning walk. It was the 15th of November. Further along my route, there's a house with a Christmas banner that's been up all year. They moved it temporarily under their porch to make way for an England flag during the Euros, but now it's in full view again. Preparations for Christmas seem to be getting earlier and earlier, perhaps because people are desperate for some good news and some hope in these uncertain times. But what is everyone preparing for? If you landed from outer space and tried to work out what this time of year was all about, you'd probably decide from the Christmas adverts on TV and the contents of the shops that it's all about eating and drinking and buying lots of stuff. That's probably how a lot of people see it. And even as Christians, we can be pulled into thinking of Christmas like that. We're all making preparations, writing cards, sorting out family arrangements, working out what to buy our brother-in-law. I'm sure I'm not the only person who has that problem. What if this season of Advent, this looking forward to Christmas, was about something else? What if it was about a supernatural happening? The actual coming of God himself into this world, born in a miraculous way. Come to do something that nobody else could do, to change our relationship with him forever. The trouble is that we've heard it all so many times, and our sense of sheer wonder is in danger of being dulled. The prologue to John's Gospel takes us back to the heart of what really happened. We think about coming from glory. The first verses of this chapter remind us a bit of the very beginning of the Bible, the first chapter of Genesis. We're back at the very beginning of things, before the earth existed, before creation began. It's dark. There's nothing we recognize. But Jesus is there. John refers to him as the Word. He is the very expression of God. He's the way that God is revealed to people. Apparently, the Jews were accustomed to think of the expression, the Word of God, meaning the same thing as God himself. His words were so important that he was his word and his word was him. And the Greeks understood the word that's used here, logos, as being the very essence of reason and meaning. So although it might seem a bit odd to us to describe Jesus as the Word, it would have made complete sense to the first people who read this gospel. They would have understood what it was that John was trying to convey about the way that Jesus communicates God. We talk about somebody being as good as their word when we realize that what they say and who they are all of a piece and they're to be completely trusted. In Jesus, we see that God is as good as his word, gloriously so. During our series on Colossians, we've been thinking about the supremacy of Jesus, understanding about who he is in relation to the universe. Remember this passage? The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. We see these ideas again at the beginning of John's gospel. Everything is made by Jesus. Nothing was made without him. He is God himself. Here we see him in his rightful place, the Lord of all, the Lord of glory. When Jesus was on this earth, it took people some time to realize who he was. After his first meeting with Jesus, Andrew told his brother Peter, "We found the Messiah!" Of course, eventually, Peter came to declare for himself that that's who Jesus was, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not everybody was all that sure to begin with. We remember how the disciples puzzled when Jesus stilled that storm on the lake. Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. John the Baptist, when everything seemed to have gone wrong for him, began to wonder if he'd been mistaken all the way along about the Messiah. He sent people to ask if Jesus really was the one who was to come. The people at Nazareth who'd seen Jesus grow up and knew his family couldn't credit that there was anything remarkable about him at all. Perhaps Jesus seems to be in a fairly safe form at Christmas. He's a baby. He's manageable. The story of the Nativity is a lovely, picturesque story that children can act out and everybody can feel sentimental about. Singing angels, bright stars, furry animals, what's not to like? But this is the Lord of glory, the one who was there before the very start of creation, the one who has no beginning and no end, breaking through into human history. This is something so huge that none of our minds can really take it in. Sometimes it's like that when we see about the wonders of nature and we hear about some amazingly tall mountain or a huge lake and we can't really understand what it's like and really imagine it. Descriptions fall short. We can't take things in. And what we need to try to understand about Jesus is far, far more amazing than any of that. Jesus is our Saviour, our friend, and our brother. He loves us more than we could ever possibly understand. But we need to understand who he really is. So often, when I think about the mysteries of faith, I come back to C.S. Lewis and his stories about Narnia. Here he describes the first time that the children hear about Aslan, who represents Jesus in the Narnian world. The friendly beavers tell them about him. "Is he a man?" they ask. "Of course not," says Mr. Beaver. "Don't you know who is the king of the beasts? Aslan is a lion, the great lion." "Ooh," said Susan, "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel quite nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie, and no mistake," said Mrs. Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or just silly." "Then he isn't safe," said Lucy. "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. "Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you." Perhaps sometimes our view of Jesus is safe. We like to have everything cut and dried and carefully worked out. We like to think we know who Jesus is and we can cope with him as a baby in a manger. But we should bow down in awe and realise that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who left his glory in order to make everything different for us. We think about him coming to be with us. Jesus, the Word of God, has life in his very self. He's the source of light and life. And amazingly, he comes here. We've thought about who he is. Now we acknowledge that he came down to earth to be one of us. I remember many years ago seeing a picture of the Queen visiting a woman's home on one of her visits. I'm sure that for the lady in question, this was a really wonderful, memorable, important day. But what struck me was how awkward Her Majesty looked. She was sitting on the edge of the sofa with her hat and her gloves on, drinking a cup of tea. She looked terribly out of place, although I am sure she was doing her best. I remember more recently seeing a film clip of Princess Diana visiting someone's home. I forget why. I think it was a situation where she's just decided to turn up on a whim. She did rather better at being natural and comfortable. But still, it was a most unnatural event. All the neighbours were out in the streets staring as if they couldn't believe their eyes. It is possible for royalty to pay us a visit and pretend to be, for a little while, like we are. They may be genuinely interested in us and want to know about our lives, but they are different. They could never be ordinary people like us. At Christmas, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came to be one of us. He didn't just pretend to be. He didn't put on humanness as if he was dressing up. He was fully and completely human, coming into the world by the route that we all came, the Lord of glory, a little helpless baby. The writer to the Hebrews says that Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses because he's been tempted just as we are, though he, of course, was without sin. He gets it. He really knows what it's like to be in our skin. When John says in verse 14 that the Word made his dwelling among us, he uses a Greek word that's got to do with being in a camp, in a tent. He's saying that Jesus came and pitched his tent alongside ours. He totally entered into our experience. And the reason he did that was so that by knowing and believing in him, we could have the right to be called the children of God, born again in a new way. The word that John uses for children apparently is a kindly, affectionate term, a bit like a Scot might use the word bairn. We can be welcomed into God's family because of what Jesus has done. He laid down his life in order to take away all the stuff that has spoiled our relationship with God. Then he rose again from the dead and defeated death forever. He came where we are so that we could be where he is. Again, we've heard this all before. We really have to engage with it again to see the wonder of it. Whatever sort of mess we're in, Jesus can understand it. However much we're struggling with life, Jesus knows what it's like. There's nothing we're going through, nothing we're suffering that he can't understand. Not as somebody politely listening from outside, but as somebody who was born in a human body and experienced human hopes and fears and weaknesses. Whatever it is that we want to say to him, he can take it. This is what Christmas is about the ultimate cure for the human condition. People around us need to understand that. The incarnation of Jesus, his becoming flesh, like us, is the most world-changing event that will ever happen. And we remember that he came, but he wasn't recognized. He came to the very place where he was meant to be. To his own, says John in verse 11. It was as if he'd come home, but nobody recognized him. You could imagine a news bulletin about the crowded conditions in Bethlehem, a reporter doing a piece to camera about the problems created by the census. We would watch and see with concern how the people were pushing and jostling in the streets, queuing up to try and gain access to accommodation. We'd shake our head over it. And then quickly dismiss it as something that had little to do with us. We see all kinds of things like this on the news every day as we learn about refugees and migrants traveling far from their homes. It's the last sort of situation you would expect the saviour of the world to be born into. It's not the place where you would be looking for him. John the Baptist was sent to tell the people of his day that the Messiah was coming. He was, as we read here, a witness to the light who would change everything. People went to John to be baptized. They wondered what was going on. Could John be the Messiah? He was quick to point them to someone else, to open their eyes to one far greater than him. It's as if Jesus was hiding in plain sight. To so many people long ago, and certainly today, he's not easily recognizable. He came to his own people and to the world which he had made, and he wasn't seen for who he was. When I moved away from Willingham 4 years ago, some people at the church I attended decided that it might be quite a good plan to have a bit of a tea party to say goodbye to me. And it was arranged for a Sunday afternoon. And a few days before, a friend of mine said, "Oh, I'll see you on Sunday afternoon at 3. And it's just as well that she did, because the people who'd arranged it had forgotten to tell me what was happening. I wasn't actually invited to my own party. Christmas can be a bit like that. We're very busy getting ready for it, sending cards, buying presents, organising when we'll have our Sainsbury's order. It will pass so quickly, and when it's gone, we'll say, well, it was soon over, and a lot of fuss for something that only goes on for a couple of days. There's a danger that we will forget to invite Jesus to his own party, that his own people won't recognise him. The world around us has largely lost sight of what the celebrations are all about, so we need to make sure that we don't as well. When we read these verses at the start of the Gospel of John, we touch on a profound mystery. The Lord of glory coming from heaven to earth, entering our human situation because he loves us so much that we can't begin to take it in. The maker of the universe becomes a human child, and today he waits patiently for us to invite him. We need to make a decision that he has to be part of our lives every single day. Are we ready to see the glory of the Lord dwelling among us, full of grace and truth? Are we ready to understand that everything else that happens at Christmas is unimportant compared to the amazing fact that God's Son entered time and space and was here on the earth? It's miraculous. It's supernatural. It seems unbelievable. It is true. Holy Spirit, please awaken our hearts again to the wonder of the incarnation. Help us to show that wonder to those around us. Amen.